Hello and welcome to the More Life podcast. I'm Dr. Sophie Edwards, a health psychologist and clinical lead at More Life. Join me and my colleagues as we discuss a range of topics related to health and well-being. Today I'm joined by Hannah and Kirsten, two of our registered nutritionists in our Manchester contract. Hannah's worked in weight management for the last 3 years. She's got a particular interest in public health nutrition and really enjoys the topics of mindful and intuitive eating. Kirsten's got a degree in nutrition and a master's in sport and exercise nutrition. She's also worked in weight management for the last 3 years, but prior to this worked in sports nutrition. She also loves yoga, both teaching and doing it herself. Today we're going to be talking about food. There's lots of information out there about how we can boost our immunity, especially in light of the COVID outbreak. So we're going to be looking at what the truth is. We've also had a lot of questions recently about snack ideas whilst we're in lockdown. So we're going to talk about what healthy snacks look like. We're also going to be discussing alcohol and what the safe limits are and how you can cut down your drinking. Lastly, we're going to think about how we can eat well on a budget, as money's on a lot of people's mind at the moment. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Right, thanks for joining me then. Really looking forward to having a chat about nutrition. So, first question. With the COVID-19 pandemic, there's been loads of information out there on social media and other things talking about foods that can boost our immune system and about things that we can do to protect ourselves from COVID. Is there any truth in that? And is there anything practical we can do, or is it just a bit of a scam?
Yeah, I think there's lots of information, isn't there, around, but there's no individual food item, nutrient or supplement that's going to stop us getting the highly infectious COVID-19 virus. But it is important to know that eating a well-balanced diet is vital for supporting the normal functioning of the immune system. And a combination of many nutrients is going to assist the body to fight infection. So a healthy, balanced diet with a variety of foods from all food groups is the best way to get all the nutrients needed to help to support the function of the immune system. The sales of things like vitamin C and zinc have been really high, and obviously, in case you're wondering why, I guess this is probably surrounding the research that there's some benefits in taking them around the common cold, but they're certainly not going to protect you from the COVID-19 virus. And also, there's a lot of other nutrients as well that are just as vital when it comes to the immune function. So, for example, vitamin B12 helps us to produce new immune cells, and this can be found in things like meat, fish, eggs, fortified cereal, yeast extract. Things like copper, more unusual one, helps to protect and fuel the immune cells, and this can be found in rice, quinoa, pulses, avocado. Iron helps to maintain the health of the immune cells, and this can be found in red meat, fish, beans, nuts, seeds. So there's lots of nutrients such as vitamin A, selenium, you know, they're all going to help in combination. However, there is just one supplement that's involved in immune function that you might want to consider, and that's vitamin D. Known as the sunshine vitamin, as we get most of the vitamin D from sunlight exposure on the skin. There are some food sources, oily fish, eggs, and some fortified products, but we do get the majority from sunlight. So given that you might still be shielding, or you've been spending a lot of time indoors, or you don't have access to outside space, then, you know, a daily supplement of vitamin C may help you to keep those levels topped up. Current guidelines for vitamin D are that all adults and children over the age of one should consider taking a daily supplement of 10 micrograms, and babies under the age of one should be given 8.5 to 10 micrograms unless they're having more than 500 mils of fortified formula milk.
Okay. That's really interesting, and I think the vitamin D, I have heard that before, but I didn't realise that it played such an important role in immune function. So generally it's about eating a well-balanced diet, and it sounds like
Yeah, there's no point concentrating just on one nutrient because it's not going to be a benefit. It's that combination of them all that's going to really help.
Brilliant. And then, so we're all at home. Well, most people are at home a lot more than we might have in the past. Adapting to new working patterns, childcare, and it's disrupted a lot of people's eating habits, I think. A lot, we like being in a routine psychologically, we love having habits and routines, and this has really disrupted it. And people tend to be telling me that they're snacking more than usual, which is absolutely fine, there's nothing wrong with snacking. But a question that's come up a lot is, what should we snack on? What are some good snack ideas?
Yeah, definitely. So, like you just said, during times of change to our daily routine, like suddenly work from home or self-isolating away from family and friends, it's expected that your food habits and your eating patterns may change. So, like you just rightly said, you might find yourself snacking more, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. But in terms of managing our weight, we might need to just look at kind of what we're actually snacking on, in particular. Also, what I would say is that it's a completely normal response to stress and anxiety sometimes, kind of increased snacking. So it can be a way to help kind of soothe your emotions. So don't beat yourself up on it too much. It's not going to be helpful. In terms of actual snack ideas, so I do get asked this question a lot as well, especially from my clients. What I usually advise is to try and base your snacks more around protein. So take advantage of protein's filling properties. So if you are going to snack on protein, it makes you feel more full and satisfied rather than snacking on things that are quite high in carbohydrates. So some examples of snacks that you might have that are protein based could be like little like mini baby bells, some almonds, some boiled eggs, a yogurt, low fat yogurt. And so my first tip is definitely to try and base your snacks more around protein. In terms of snacks, so often clients feel like, it's just fruit and veg, that's all you can to snack on to be healthy, but there is so much more than just kind of aiming to have fruit and veg as snacks. Obviously, that's great. There is that recommendation to aim for your five a day, but I really kind of do strongly believe that food's still got to be enjoyable and it's still got to taste good. And sometimes fruit and veg is just not going to cut it when you kind of really want a snack and you fancy something. So what I was thinking at the moment, people seem to be baking a lot more, so they've got more time at home and they're kind of making their own snacks. So it's a good idea to get the family involved in, as well, in kind of baking things. So if you are kind of making things from scratch, you've got more control of kind of what you're putting into things. So there's some really good like nutritionists who like do really good recipes and things that I've been following. So we can maybe like give you the information on where to find them, but one is called Deliciously Ella and the other one is Retrition, and they do some really good things like banana bread or like oat cookies. So if you are snacking and you have got more time, just an idea could maybe be to kind of make it yourself, so you kind of got more control of what's going into it and make kind of healthier versions of things that you can grab. Another tip is to try and aim to kind of keep no more than two snacks a day to kind of 100 calories roughly each. That's just a way of kind of making sure you stay within kind of limits and don't overindulge a bit too much. So if you do want something sweet, you could still maybe try like mini or like fun sized chocolate bars, so you're still kind of getting that enjoyable side of food, but maybe just in a smaller portion to help you have a little bit of what you fancy. So yeah, there's loads of ideas. Like I said, try and base them around protein and stick to maybe more, no more than 200 calorie snacks per day, and be creative with your fruit and veg. Could you kind of cut them up, have like carrot sticks, dip them in hummus and things, try and make them a bit more exciting. But if you have got time, why not give it a go to try and make your own snacks, like I said, like banana bread or like oat cookies. And I'll let you know about those recipes. We can maybe signpost you to them if you're interested.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I like that. And I was actually very creative the other week. It's just reminded me. I saw a recipe for some chocolate brownies, but they had a tin of black beans in them. Or you could use cannellini beans. And I was so skeptical, but I'm vegetarian, so I'm really trying to up the number of pulses I eat and obviously get a bit more fiber and protein in there. And they were delicious. Now, don't get me wrong, they still had sugar and butter and things in them, so I'm not saying they're a super healthy snack, but just that addition helped me get a little bit closer towards my 5 a day and a bit of extra protein. So yeah, really.
Definitely. I've seen some similar recipes, like a chocolate cake that's got like beetroot in it, or brownies with like sweet potatoes. So they do sound disgusting, but honestly, give them a go. They actually it makes it a lot like moister as well when you've been baking things. So yeah, get creative with it, and like you said, it's increasing the fiber content in there as well for you.
Yeah, really good. And I think with snacking as well, it's if I think people who are finding that they're reaching for the snacks a lot more than usual, it'd be a good idea, as well as making sure you've got some snacks available, the ones that are going to fill and satisfy you, but also maybe look at why we're reaching for snacks a bit more than usual. I think boredom is often a reason we look to food. If we're not being stimulated enough, food is interesting, it's something to do, it's something to distract us. So maybe addressing that, or as you say, things like anxiety, stress, any kind of emotions, that food does soothe those, but it doesn't get rid of the problem. So I think maybe questioning why you might be feeling more bored or anxious, and looking at maybe some stress management or things like that can really help as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, distraction techniques and your environmental cues play a really big role in kind of your snacking environment. So some people kind of say, I just won't buy it in the house, and that works for me. But realistically, it's only a short-term solution. You need to look at kind of long-term techniques that will help you kind of overcome your snacking habits. So not buying them might be a great start, but it's not always realistic long-term as well. So you need to think about kind of what is actual the root cause of your snacking, like you said there as well.
Absolutely, and that's really interesting. So I have that conversation a lot with people, and people do, say they can't have certain foods in the house. And while it is about up to the individual, and if that's your decision, that's your decision. I find with some people, not having the foods in the house actually makes them want them more, obsess about them more, crave them more. So whereas if you've got something there, we all have it after Christmas, I always find, or after a holiday where your house is stacked full of chocolate. Chocolate loses its power. You don't crave it, you don't want it, because it's there, and you can have it whenever you want. So yeah, for some people, I'd say maybe question that, and maybe think about having those foods available and allowing yourself to have them when you want, to sort of take the power out of them and stop those cravings.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, really agree with that, everything that you said there.
Okay, that's some really good ideas there. So yeah, take home messages, get a bit of protein in, question why you're snacking, and make sure you still enjoy it. I think that's a really important message. The other thing I've heard a lot of people talking about is that during this time of lockdown and shielding, social distancing, I think people have been turning to alcohol maybe more than they would have usually. Some of it is sort of using alcohol as a coping strategy for the stress, stress about COVID, stress about work, childcare, all of those things. But also, I think for people who have been furloughed or people who aren't working at this time, there is a bit of a feeling of, normal everyday life has stopped, and it feels a bit like, I was saying this to someone else, it feels a little bit like that time between Christmas and New Year where you don't really know what day it is. So it's really disrupted people's routines, and people are drinking more than they might usually. So I think there's a lot about looking at, again, how we manage our emotions and coping strategies in there. But have you got any practical tips from a nutritionist perspective on how to reduce alcohol consumption?
Yeah, of course. So it's a really interesting point, actually. I've personally, for me, I feel like my alcohol has reduced, because for me, alcohol is more like a social side of things. So with the pubs being closed and I'm not socialized as much, for me, I've actually reduced it. But definitely, I do know a lot of my friends and other people that have found that they have had that increase in alcohol. So in terms of nutrition, alcohol provides 7 calories per gram. The government guidelines recommend no more than 14 units per week for both men and women. So, like I said, the 7 calories per gram in alcohol, if you stick within the guidelines of 14 units per week, that could provide almost an extra 3,000 calories in your week. So the important thing with alcohol is that it's kind of empty calories. You don't want to get much nutritional benefit from it. There is the one exception, which is Guinness, which has some iron, but overall it's kind of quite high calorie, kind of dense thing, and it doesn't really fill you up necessarily either. So there is a really good resource on, it's called DrinkAware. There's a website, it's like a calorie calculator, and you can input kind of how much drink you've had over the course of the week, and it estimates how many units that would be, but also how many calories you might have had in your alcohol. So if that is something that you think, you know, actually this is a behaviour that I have increased recently, it might be worth going over to that website and just having a look how many calories or units you actually are having recently. In terms of tips, then, so obviously there's no kind of healthy choice of alcohol, unfortunately, but there are kind of better options that you can make. So often, like white spirits are slightly lower in calories compared to dark spirits. So things like your gin and vodka might be slightly lower in overall in kind of your dark versions. Similar things to food. So if you think about portion sizes, if you wanted to reduce your calories in food, you would have a smaller portion. The same stands still for alcohol. So could you have, dare I say, like half a pint of beer rather than a full one, like a small glass of wine rather than a large glass? It's often the extra mixes as well that can increase your overall calories. So think about what you're adding and mixing with. So can you swap to diet versions or light versions of that? Aim for alcohol-free days. And if you are drinking, maybe like alternate with water, like in between your alcoholic drinks. You'll thank me when you don't have as much of a hangover as well the next day. Kind of make sure you stay hydrated in that way. But yeah, there are loads of things you can do. What I would say, though, it's really important to point out that there's nothing wrong with calories. You know, they provide energy and you do need them to function. But overall, you'd need to look at moderate alcohol intake as part of a healthy lifestyle, not just to ensure that you're reducing the risk of consuming too many calories, but also to reduce your risk of like alcohol-related health issues, like your liver disease, etc. So it's not just about kind of reducing alcohol for calories, it's also the associated other health risks that you can get with drinking alcohol too.
Yeah.
And also, eliminating alcohol completely is not necessary for a lot of people. It is a big part of our social life and social occasions. You can still have alcohol in your diet and kind of enjoy it remaining healthy. So it's just kind of with lots of things, making sure, you know, you don't overindulge too much and it stick within the guidelines and the limits. And if you are choosing to drink alcohol, there are kind of lower calorie or healthier options available.
Brilliant. No, that's really good advice. And I think, yeah, what you said there about it's not just about calories is really, really important. And like you said, alcohol has a lot of impact on all of our bodily functions, really. And I think there's a perception out there that only people who are, you know, have substance use disorders, have alcohol use disorders, that have got, you know, a problem with alcohol, have negative consequences. And that's just not true. If you are having more than the recommended guidelines or regularly, it can impact you. But I also think that the impact on our mental health is really worth mentioning too when it comes to alcohol. Alcohol is a depressant and it makes us feel quite relaxed, and our body reacts to that by trying to stimulate us, which is often why the next day you might feel more stressed and more anxious if the day after consuming alcohol. It also interrupts our sleep patterns as well. So people who have drunk alcohol might fall asleep more easily, but actually they don't get as good quality sleep, which again has a big impact on our hunger and fullness signals, our ability to plan and think clearly the next day, and our stress and other mental health factors as well. So it's quite far reaching with alcohol, and I think having a few alcohol-free days during the week is really, really important.
Yeah, from a nutritionist point of view as well, like usually when you do drink alcohol, you might find you have increased cravings for like certain foods, like salty foods, or it does increase your hunger as well. So you're not only necessarily having the extra calories from alcohol, but you might find you kind of snack more, you actually consume larger amounts of food alongside it as well. So that's just something to be aware of too.
Absolutely. Yeah, really good point. Good stuff there. So the other thing to talk about is that some people have been furloughed during this time, so having a reduction in their salary. Some people have been made redundant or people seeking jobs are struggling a bit to find work. So I think a lot of people are worried about money at the moment, even people who haven't really had a change. You know, we don't, this time of uncertainty and, you know, can be quite stressful. So people are watching their budget, I think, a bit more maybe than usual. It'd be great to hear some tips on how you can eat well and a balanced diet on a budget.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think people are worried, aren't they, financially and thinking, how can I look after myself and keep to a nice healthy diet? But there's lots of things you can do. So just some top tips for you to think about. First of all, make sure, you know, keep to your routine, plan your meals in advance and put your shopping list together so that you know exactly what you're going to need. Check in your cupboards, make sure there's not items in there that have, you know, at the back of the cupboard that you forget that they're there. You know, make sure you're checking your cupboards and making sure you're only buying what you need. And when you do go shopping, just stick to the list. It's really easy to get sidetracked and start by popping those expensive items in your trolley and what have you. But you know, just trying to stick to the list as well. Another thing is don't go shopping when you're hungry. I think that's key because that's really when you're tempted just to throw in all those extras. So just really stick to the list and try not to be hungry when you go. Other things to think about is buying whole foods. So for example, if you buy oats in a big bag, it's much cheaper than buying the sachets. Rice, think something like that is cheaper bought in a bag than kind of the kind of ready meal ones. So there's lots of things to even your veg, you know, if you buy the chopped up veg that's in sealed packs, that's going to be more than if you bought, you know, like sweet potatoes chopped up is much more expensive than just buying a big bag of sweet potatoes. So just trying to really think about what you're buying and why you're buying, and is there something else that you can buy? And use things like, you know, frozen fruits and vegetables. Obviously, fruit vegetables, they're usually only in season for a few months, and sometimes it can be really expensive. So if you buy like quick frozen ones, they're just as nutritious and they're cheaper and they're available all year round, and then they're usually available in large bags. So you've got them in your freezer ready, and they're great for, you know, if you've got some frozen veg, throwing into stews and soups, you know, throw in frozen veg. Fruit into smoothies, or you can use it on toppings for kind of porridge or yogurt, things like that. So that's a good idea. Also, as well, if you're struggling to find your usual store cupboard ingredients, you can look for nutritious alternatives that are gonna, you know, so that you don't miss out on essential nutrients such as vitamins and minerals. So, for example, if you can't get, say, rice and pasta, there's lots of other grains that you can choose from, such as couscous, quinoa, bulgur wheat, barley, and they all come in packets that are, you know, relatively cheap. So, for example, like barley, you could make a really big pot of stew with barley, chickens, all your leftover vegetables, and it's a great healthy, nutritious, balanced meal, and it's not cost you a lot of money. So, you know, the bulk up foods meals. And I think now that obviously a lot of the takeaways and restaurants are shut, now's the time to be kind of making more meals yourself. So we're not spending money going out. And, you know, things like batch cooking is a really good idea. So then you can freeze meals, giving yourself a supply of ready prepared meals for when maybe fresh stocks run out, or you know, if you're financially you're struggling a little bit, you've got those in the freezer for you to use, so that you've got planned meals that are good and nutritious for you. Also, there's things like there's a certain website, you know, certain websites that really focus on things like cooking on a budget, and there's a great website called cookingonabootstrap.com, and it's a great site. It's got lots and lots of different recipes from breakfasts, snacks, breads, you know, lunches, evening meals. It gives you the price of the meals, use lots of nutritious ingredients and lots of ingredients that are in your cupboards. So it's a great source of information to help you to kind of come up with some meals that are, you know, financially available for you, because it is a testing time, and we do, you know, you do want to still eat healthily, but there's lots of things you can do there and lots of recipes there to help help you get some ideas, and using your fresh fruits and vegetables in your items, like a banana bread, or you know, there's courgette cookies, things like that. You know, there's lots of things you can do to add in your fruits and vegetables, and just, you know, making sure that you, I think it just takes a little bit more planning, but if you're at home, you can do a lot more cooking yourself, and now's the time to kind of try these different things, and just be really careful when you're shopping, thinking, is there a cheaper alternative that I can buy that's just as good?
Yeah, and that's an interesting point, actually, because I think a lot of people, I know it's been talked about before, but think that some of the economy brands, the supermarket budget brands, are not as good as, are they just as good?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, they can be half the price, some of them, and you don't need to go for the expensive branded product. Just go for the store own. Just going to be just as nutritious, and it's just going to mean that you can buy more items, you know, and get more for your money, really.
The supermarket versions are often actually like lower in salt and sugar as well, so they're not only cheap, but often healthier if you're adding them into your meals. So that's a really good tip. Something that I do, like some supermarkets sell like wonky veg now, which is there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, it just looks a bit funny, but by the time you chop it up and put it into things,
absolutely, and it's much cheaper, isn't it? I've been doing it, you know, you can get like wonky blueberries, wonky carrots, all that, you know, and it's just, and like I say, once you've used them, they're in a product.
Definitely.
You put carrots up, it doesn't matter, does it? So yeah, kind of think wisely when you go shopping.
Another website as well that I've used is called Miguel Barclay, and he does like £1 meals. He's got some really good recipe books, so we can always reference people to that as well. Yeah. Very similar to the one that you mentioned there, kind of thing.
They're a great idea. I've got lots of recipes from them, and gives you ideas, actually. I like how they put the cost on per portion, so you know exactly what you're spending as well.
That's brilliant. Really good.
Yeah, and the other thing is like looking out for, like, I call them like the oopsie labels, where it's like yellow, you know, when it's reduced, but it's still fresh, and like freezing and utilizing those. So in terms of nutrition, they're usually still okay to use, it just a bit cheaper. So protein intake as well. So often the most expensive item on your list is protein. So trying to substitute some meat and by adding more like pulses and beans can kind of get your cost down and bulk meals out in that way too.
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to make it a lot cheaper, because, like I say, meat can be quite expensive. So thinking of other protein alternatives, such as, you know, eggs, things like that.
Yeah, no, I remember when I was transitioning to vegetarian, I started off by having things like spaghetti bolognese and putting half mince and half lentils in it, things like that. And that really helps, and you don't notice, to be honest, that either. It still tastes. No.
And you're going to get that fullness, aren't you? That satiety from the protein as well. So it's going to help you to keep fuller as well. So yeah, beans, lentils, peas, things like that are all great for adding in to things like stews, spaghetti bolognese, soups. Yeah. To give you that protein burst that you need.
Absolutely. Good tips. And I think you're right, you know, you've said trying some things at home as well. There are some things that I always thought are really scary and difficult to make. And one of those, actually, I tried about 2 weeks ago. I saw a video on, I think it was YouTube, this guy making his own naan bread, which I had never considered in a million years. Yeah. It was just, he used just flour, yogurt, and a little bit of oil. And it was so easy that I tried it and brushed it with some butter, and it was delicious and so easy to make. And I think that helps as well. If you're not sure, watching a video online of someone actually doing it gives you that confidence to try it yourself.
Absolutely. Another product I've used that's so easy is bulgur wheat, and a lot of people are like, I don't know what to do with it. Just rinse it, put some boiling water over it, let the water soak in, and it's ready. It's as simple as that, and then it can be added to anything from soups to salads to give you that carbohydrate burst. And it's full of things like iron, you know, nutrients that are just as beneficial for you as, say, like rice or pasta. So it's great, and it comes in big bags, so it's really cheap, really versatile. So it's a great product to use.
Brilliant. I think the other thing I wanted to add, I think at the moment, some people have been saying, parents particularly, that they're feeling a bit guilty at the moment because they may be relying on ready meals or using, you know, products they've got in the house, and their meals don't look quite as they would usually. You know, from my perspective, we're living through a pandemic, and these are really difficult times. So I wouldn't ever want anyone to feel guilty about what they're doing. Have you got any tips at all on things like things we can have in the store cupboard that are really good and easy to use if we haven't got much time, or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, using things, you know, like tinned, like tuna, tinned oily fish, things like that, they're in the cupboard, they've got a long shelf life, they can be used in anything. So say tuna, for example, you could have it in a jacket potato, you could make a pasta dish with it, or you could use, say, quinoa, which is another grain, like a tuna and quinoa salad. They're cheap and they're easy to have in, and they're going to have that long shelf life, so it's something there that you can just grab ready. So yeah, don't be afraid of using certain products such as that.
Yeah, I think my store cupboard essentials that I always have in are like microwave sachets of rice and like canned fish, frozen veg. Stir fries is usually quick, kind of healthy go-to meal that's hopefully quite accessible for the family. In terms of ideas, so Change for Life, we've got a really good website with loads of like family-friendly recipes. I know we touched on people have been making their own like fakeaways or takeaways, so getting the kids involved with things like making pizzas but using wraps or pitas, or like making homemade fish and chips with like wedges. So Change for Life is definitely a family kind of friendly website that I'd get you to check out in terms of healthy, easy, simple meals that the kids will still hopefully like and enjoy.
Definitely, there's lots of good recipes on there.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's really, yeah, some good tips there, and things to have easily on standby. Yeah, and I think tinned fish, as you said, that's a really good one. And you can have the oily fish as well, things like tinned mackerel that are surprisingly, well, yeah, really tasty, like just as tasty and as fresh.
Comes in lots of different flavours. You know, I like the one with the tomato sauce, and that, like you say, is so versatile. You can have it with lots of different things, make it into a pasta dish, have it on a jacket potato, have it on toast, you know, mix it in with a salad. So, you know, it's so versatile, and, you know, it's good to get oily fish in your diet as well. So
I also think just don't overcomplicate it. Like, don't put too much pressure on yourself. There is nothing wrong with, like, the humble, like, beans on toast or a jacket potato or, like, an omelette. You don't need to overcomplicate it. They are quite cheap, accessible, like, store cupboard essentials that still make a really, like, healthy, nutritious meal that hopefully everyone will still enjoy.
Such a good point. Beans on toast is a staple for me, and it's, yeah, like you say, it's protein, carbohydrates, high in fibre, really good meal. And I think there is that perfectionism that goes on, and if you look on social media, and like you say, Hannah, everyone's baking banana bread and sourdough, and there's a lot of pressure.
Sometimes it's just best just to keep it simple and just not overcomplicate it, I think, as
And I wouldn't want anyone to feel guilty at the moment. And kids are going through a stressful time as well. So if they're not eating, you know, as enthusiastically as usual, it might have absolutely nothing to do with what you're serving up, but actually just how they're feeling too. So, and as you said right at the beginning, there's no one nutrient that's going to protect you at this time. It's not about having the perfect diet. The perfect diet doesn't exist. So I think some of the advice you've given, those simple bits of advice, simple changes, are really helpful at the moment.
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. Is there anything else either of you would like to add?
No, I just think, like I say, don't be hard on yourself and don't complicate it. There's lots of foods out there that are cheap and just as nutritious. So yeah, don't complicate it for yourself.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, what I would say is now is not the time for restriction either. So, like I said, restriction often leads to binging. So look after yourself, focus on your self-care as well. And sometimes food is what makes us happy and brings us all together as a family.
Absolutely. Couldn't have put it better myself. Brilliant. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. Just to recap, there's lots of information out there on ways to boost your immune system. But really, just following a healthy, balanced diet is the best thing you can do to look after your health. Try and get creative with your snacks. There are lots of alternatives to the high-fat, high-sugar things available, so get creative. Remember to follow the recommendations for alcohol intake, which is no more than 14 units a week. You can look at Drink Aware for more information about this. And there are lots of resources out there for trying to eat well on a budget. One of the ones we mentioned was a website called cookingonabootstrap.com. For other ideas on how to have a healthy, balanced diet, visit the British Dietetic Association website. Thanks for listening.